not made public until after the applicants have been notified. Well, SBRM was scheduled to be our first agenda item today. After consultation with the agency, there's still some unfinished business, and so without objection, I'd like to move final action on SBRM to April. No objection? Well, we're going to then go directly into groundfish, and we have a motion that was tabled yesterday afternoon. Frank.
Well, I guess we're on the table motion, so I really don't have much to say on it, so somebody else can.
Check and see if you're awake.
Yeah, I'm awake.
Okay, council members, what are your thoughts? Doug.
I would make a motion to remove the motion from the table so that we can consider it.
Is there an objection? With no objection, we're ready to go back to work. So after sleeping on it for the night, what are your thoughts? So Terry.
I don't know if I slept on it, but I was part of the discussion at the committee, and I thought what we had there did what we wanted it to do at this point. You know, given the service authority to go ahead with what they want to do and then do a bigger plan through an omnibus. So I thought that's how we had planned it. At the committee, we discussed a lot of we didn't think many people would use it, but they've been working on it, what their aspects of it were. And so I thought that was a good discussion at the committee level, and I thought everybody understood that. So I don't know how we got wrapped up with this yesterday afternoon. So
wrapped up?
Well, it was 5:30, so.
Okay, well, we do have a split motion. So, you know, I mean, what's the council's intent or wish? Tom.
I guess I still have an open question about the best vehicle. I think we want to address all of these issues, and the question really is whether they're all going to get in one action that's now we're going to take on, it's going to be slower, or we're going to do two actions. We push this as is through what the agencies come up with, and we at least discuss prioritizing an omnibus to handle the baseline issue behind it. That's sort of an open question for me, you know, and one of the considerations there is there any value to just moving through what the agency's done to date? You know, I think a bunch of people at the groundfish committee said it's of limited value unless you do the horsepower at the same time. That's the open question. We sort of talked with staff about maybe outlining some of the pros and cons of the different approaches. I think they're probably different timelines. You know, I think the workload's probably different. And either way, I think we have to have a conversation about how this fits in with our existing priorities.
So if that is your sense and the sense of the rest of the council, then we can vote both these options up. Tom.
Well, if we voted this up, and I just want to clarify what we'd be doing. So the second part of this, we'd pull it out of Amendment 18, fine. The second part of this is we'd put it into the omnibus, which would basically, we'd be in that action, as John, I think, highlighted yesterday, be taking ownership of that omnibus. And that's a priorities discussion, I would have to think. But I think we should be aware that we'd be then taking over that document and owning it, and we'd need staff time to do it.
Tom.
So just to remind the council a little bit, before we got started on the vessel omnibus, I believe that the staffs got together and talked, and they may have even prepared a white paper, but anyway, they considered the issues. And one of the things that becomes clear is that in some of the management plans that are in existence, and this is an omnibus amendment that would also address some of the mid-Atlantic fishery management plans, so they would have to agree to include the vessel horsepower upgrade restrictions. In some of the management plans that are not currently managed, either with a catch share program or a limited entry program, there may still be a need for vessel upgrade and horsepower restrictions. And so this, I think, is one of the reasons why the omnibus amendment was first initially planned not to consider that issue, because some of these overlapping things might be difficult to untangle. So, you know, if our council does vote to include the horsepower and upgrade restrictions in the omnibus, and if apparently this earlier decision that NMFS would only take the lead if this was kept a very simple amendment, we would still have to get the Mid-Atlantic to agree to this, and then this would be a longer-term thing. And I have no doubt that this would be a problem for us to commit to working on this to any real extent this year.
Ellen?
I was just wondering if the process has started down in the Mid yet. Has
Mary Beth?
Not to answer that question, but I had wondered if this motion simply meant we would initiate an amendment to do this and that the agency would finish the amendment they're currently well down the road on. I think it could be interpreted either way, and I think we should clarify that. I mean, the agency's amendment, the omnibus, perhaps John or someone could just speak to that about how far along they are, and do we need to disrupt that process, or are we talking about a new process? And that part is a little unclear to me.
John.
So the process that we embarked on the Mid and the New England Council does not include horsepower, and so it's a simple one. It's one that we've explained and committed to, and so if at this point the New England Council says add horsepower, as I said yesterday, you can certainly do that. And as I said yesterday, you can certainly do that. It becomes your process, not ours. And I don't think that's I don't have the priorities that the New England Council set. I don't remember it being on your priority list. But it's a much more involved process. And I think you're starting fresh. It's much more involved. We're not doing it. The way I see this split motion is and we would certainly support the first part of this split motion, because it reflects, as we understand it, what we've agreed to do. And we would not support the second part. We think this is helpful. But if you want to add horsepower, that's much more involved, much more complicated. If you want to do it, you know, I guess it's be our guess, but it derails the omnibus. It just derails the omnibus bill.
Tom.
I'm going to start out being a little bit argumentative, and then I'm going to try and be a little bit conciliatory, so bear with me here.
Wait.
I guess I struggle, because whenever we do get one of these amendments that the agency agrees to do for us, we're told repeatedly by NOAA General Counsel that the action is still a council action and that the agency is just helping us take the lead in developing it. And so that, for example, is the language we hear on the SBRM amendment all the time, that this is still a council action. The agency is just doing a lot of the work on it. And then when the council, you know, proposes adding something to one of these omnibus actions, the thing from the agency is, whoa, wait a minute, we didn't agree to take that on. We only agreed to do part of it. And so, you know, my question here is there some sort of middle ground here that we could pursue, which would still be problematic from our staff point of view, where you would continue to work on those pieces of the amendment that you understood you were going to be working on, but that if we were to add an alternative like the upgrade requirements, that it would be up to the council staffs to do the analysis and prepare the language and the work for that.
Dave?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. My it was all pretty confused yesterday afternoon because everybody is pretty much burnt. But my intention here would be to, once get it split, the primary function here is to get it out of Amendment 18. The rest of it, I wasn't sure yesterday how to go with it, but this is okay the way it is. But my intention here would be to support the first part and not support the second part. That's why I split it in the first place.
Other council comments? Doug?
Given Tom's comment there, potentially one thought that came to my mind is that we vote up the first part of this, and then we take a vote on the second, and if that passes, or maybe even written within that part of the motion, that we'd want to find if there was some concurrence on doing something with a horsepower upgrade with the MID. And if they did concur on that, then maybe the two council staffs could be working on that particular section together. If they don't concur on that, clearly that's going to make it a much more difficult and may shoot that down, at least at this point. But that might be one way that we ask that we're approving this in the second amendment and look to concurrence with the MID on it.
So this discussion is specific to the first split. Terry.
Yeah, I think we should leave NIMS, DAFO stuff, and Amendment 18, what they can do, and have it a whole separate. If they're doing that part of it, and then have our people work on our part of it, it does the same thing, I think, if we leave it in there. And, I don't think it's going to be used much because their vessel, their permit consolidation program wasn't used much because there was a tax. There was a tax on it. So I'm not sure it's going to be used, but somebody may want to use it and give up the rest of their licenses and stuff. It's something anyway.
PK.
Yeah, I mean, I agree on the first part of the motion, but I think I disagree with Dave on the, like Terry, I mean, the second part of the motion. I don't want to put pressure on staff, but I think you'll get more out of the change in length and horsepower. So I think that needs to be done. I don't know when it should be done or how it's going to be done. I mean, I'm okay with the first part to keep it going, but I also agree with the second part of the split motion, too. So, I'm a little torn, but...
David Pierce?
Yeah, I'll admit that I cannot recall what vessel upgrade restriction measures the service would focus on, that we would work with them on in collaboration. What are those vessel upgrade restriction measures apart from vessel length and horsepower provisions?
Tonnage.
Is that it? Just tonnage?
Rachel?
I also have a note on removing the one-time upgrade restriction. I think that's for length, but...
Tom?
Mike's not near a mic, so I think the answer is that at present you're allowed one opportunity to upgrade, and this change would allow you any number of upgrades up to what the maximum that's allowed, maximum change that's allowed.
Yeah, if I may, just to elaborate on that a bit. So because this has been a long-standing rule, any upgrade within the 10 to 20% that a vessel is allowed, once that single upgrade is taken, no further upgrades can be made. So that means if you buy a permit, for example, that had a 70-foot baseline that at some point in its history before you bought it was upgraded to 72 feet, you are locked in and can never take full advantage of that 77-foot increase that, you know, presumably would have been allowed. And so what we're proposing would undo that so that people have the full freedom to upgrade their vessels to take full advantage of the 10 and 20% upgrades allowances at any point in the process.
John?
I think it's Doug's point, but also in response to Tom's comments. If the first motion passes, and I said I'd support that, I would suggest that the wording in the second one might be modified a little bit, because I think it's hard to predict what the MID might say. And I do take Tom's point that this is the council's action, and we should be receptive to council input. But because you can't predict what the MID might do, and if you want to add horsepower, strategically, you might not know what the most effective way to do that is. And it might be adding it to the omnibus, but it might be to have it be its own separate management plan. And right now, I don't think you could say definitively what is the most effective way to do that. You might come to the conclusion that the most effective way to get horsepower is to have the omnibus go through the way it is and have horsepower as a separate management plan. Or it might be folded in. Strategically, either one could do the job. You don't know which is the best way to do that yet. So if you want to add horsepower, I would, and there's a majority vote to do that, I would word that in a way that later on that motion allows you to do either one of those ways and have the staffs work together. The MID staff, if appropriate, the New England staff and our staff to figure out which one of those ways gets it done most effectively, because I don't think you can predict that right now.
Okay, we're taking comments on both parts of the split motion. I do want to keep this focused on the first part. Are there further comments on the first part of the motion, or the first motion? It's a split motion. Are any comments from the audience? Back to the council on the first part, Dave. Okay, so we're just going to vote up or down the first part. So those council members who support the first part of the split motion on the board, please indicate so. It's unanimous, 16-0-0. Okay, we're on to the second part. Tom.
Was that a substitute motion?
Motion split made. We'll have to scroll up. Back up to yesterday at 5 o'clock on the motion to split. Those who support the motion to split, please indicate so. Okay, it's unanimous, 16-0-0. So now we have a split motion to two parts that we've just voted up the first part. We're on to the second part. Tom.
Yeah, I think, you know, a lot of this conversation has been good, and I appreciate that we took the time to bring this up today, because it's not trivial how to get ourselves out of this. I think the problem here is that we're sort of committing to an omnibus. It wasn't discussed in the priorities. Has impacts on other councils. So I think I'd move to amend to instead say consider developing and then an omnibus to remove or change vessel length and horsepower provisions under our next priority discussion. So consider, and then all the that under our next priority discussion. In the meantime, to raise this issue with the MID and other relevant management entities. Sorry.
Entourage.
Yeah. Thanks for, in the meantime, to raise the issue with the MID and other relevant management entities to discuss these changes.
Tom, is that read right to you?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, second by Dave Preble. Comments? Frank?
Yeah, I agree with this approach. One reason is because we don't know what the MID's going to do, and I think for the most part we're looking at this from a groundfish point of view. Changing horsepower probably makes, I mean, granted nowadays, who knows what horsepower is. Every engine's different. The tags on them are different. It's kind of irrelevant for what it used to be. But it does probably make a big difference in plans like the Squid, Scup, probably even a scallop vessel, changing the horsepower. So, and if the MID does not go along with this, or if it's not at all plans, I would think most of the boats are going to want to consolidate, have those other permits, and they're probably not going to use it either. So unless the MID's on board, I think we're right back to where we were on the first one. And I don't think Rick can even speak for what they're going to do down there. So it's considering it is much better than to start it.
Rick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can't predict what the result of that discussion would be, but I think it makes sense at least to evaluate the question in the context of an omnibus assessment of the issue, because the consequences of increasing horsepower in one fishery may in fact be moot if it's quota managed or ITQ or sector managed. And yet, if it's managed under different types of management measures, it could have very different implications. I mean, obviously, we've had discussions before about what the consequences could be in a fishery like the scallop fishery, where you still have open area DAS as an element of management. So, I think we ought to just put that on our agenda. You know, as we come into our next meeting, we can certainly discuss this and provide some feedback as well. But I think if horsepower and some of the other constraints are going to be changed through an action, it probably does merit some sort of omnibus evaluation of that question.
Dave.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Tom has, I seconded this because Tom has gotten at exactly what my objection was to the first iteration and why I split the motion in the first place. The original wording was entirely too constricting and I thought completely unworkable. But this now changes it completely, and now I would definitely support this change. Personally, if I could just wave a magic wand, or if I had supreme powers, I'd get rid of all vessel restrictions, but that's a different issue.
Other comments from the council? Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, members of the council. I'm Jeff Kalin from Lunds Fisheries and also a member of the Mid-Atlantic Council. And there's a wrinkle here from the Mid-Atlantic's perspective, I think, that I'm recalling, and that has to do with how we handled rebuild requirements in the mackerel fishery, because I think we substituted gross register tons for vessel hold measurements, and required that vessel holds be measured in the herring fishery, and that would be the basis for rebuild criteria in the mackerel fishery. That wouldn't be gross registered tonnage, that it would be hold capacity. So that's just a complicating factor here that will probably come up when we come back to this in the Mid-Atlantic Council. Thank you.
Other comments from the audience? Seeing none, back to the council. Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to support this only in the, to the extent that I think we should raise this issue and have a lengthy discussion about it. There's a lot of things that I'm concerned about when we start talking about removing vessel length and horsepower provisions. I understand the need for flexibility. I understand the need that these provisions are outdated based upon where the marine engine industry has gone of late, and I think we should talk about it. But those provisions were put in there for a reason, and I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. I'll support this for developing a future amendment, but I'm torn about it.
Are there any further comments? Seeing none, on the motion to amend, please raise your hand if you support the motion on the board. Motion is unanimous, 16-0-0. Back to the main motion, same sign. Please raise your hands to support the main motion on the board. Same vote, unanimous, 16-0-0. Okay, Frank, I think we're on to the nonprofit entity private permit bank discussion that we had. Didn't have the motion on yet.
This one ought to go real easy. We already had the discussion. So anyway, next motion is nonprofit entities, private permit bank holding permits for the purpose of leasing ACE to activate active fishermen be referred to as nonprofit permit banks, thereby distinguishing them from other private entities that lease ACE. Motion carried 901.
Committee motion that doesn't need a second. We had significant discussion yesterday, and I suspect we'll have some more. Mary Beth.
So I'm just wondering what the purpose of the motion is. Like, why is it necessary, or what's the point? I'm not sure.
PK.
I think actually Gene asked that same question at the committee meeting, and I think it was because maybe somewhere down the road they might be treated differently. That's why they had to be defined first. I think that's correct what we thought at the committee meeting. And we don't know if they will be treated differently, but I think that's what we were thinking.
Tom.
Yeah, in the goals of this action, actually the first goal is to promote a diverse groundfish fishery, including different gear types, vessel sizes, ownership patterns, geographic locations, and levels of participation through sectors and permit banks. I think it's important, if we're going to discuss permit banks as a way to achieve fleet diversity, that we have a definition for what we're talking about. That's at least one sort of obvious and significant reason for defining permit banks in this action, because the goals of the action rely on, you know, understanding what we're talking about. So if we're not committed to that goal, and in fact we're not looking at permit banks as a way to achieve or support fleet diversity, then we can strike that and we don't have to define them. They're a permit holder like anyone else. So that's sort of the decision. I think if we're going to keep that language in there and discuss how we're going to use these permit banks to support fleet diversity and the purpose of this amendment, then we have to have a definition.
Further, Councilor Terry.
I understand that we have to have a definition, but if we're not going to treat them differently, I mean, I think we're kind of putting the horse before the cart here. I think we ought to figure out if we're going to treat them differently and then define them. Because if we're not going to treat them differently, why the hell are we wasting all our time doing it? That's my thought.
David.
Yeah, I'd like to go to the draft amendment itself and look at the work done by staff regarding these different alternatives, certainly defining a nonprofit permit bank. The rationale is on page 12 of the document, and I think that tells the story. Amendment 18 right now does have alternatives that would limit the accumulation of permit banks different from other permit holders. Now, eventually, this council may decide that that's not what should happen. But right now, those alternatives are in the document for future work, continued discussion, analyses. in order for us to give the staff the foundation on which to stand to work on those alternatives and analyses, we have to have this definition of the nonprofit permit banks. So again, the rationale is in the document.
Other council comments? Mike?
Yeah, I also get the sense of putting the cart before the horse, but further to that, it's unclear to me as to why we care whether these are nonprofit or not. So I put that on the table as a question.
Going to go out to the audience. Are any comments on the motion? Back to the council. All right. Those who support the motion on the board, please indicate so. Those opposed and those abstaining. The motion carries 14-0-2. Frank, you're on a roll.
Next, to include as an alternative the definition of a nonprofit permit bank as described in the draft amendment 18, section 4.2.2, alternative 2, defining a nonprofit permit bank, excluding criteria 2 and 5. And that it's a combined motion, so it actually passed 901 and then 801 between the two different meetings. And that you can look on page 12 of the decision document. I believe it's page 12. And it has what those conditions are.
Council comments on the on this alternative? Laura.
I just wanted to provide some insight into the conversation, particularly with number 5. It said ACE must be leased at below market values, and the conversation was that you cannot define that because the market is constantly changing. So we thought that it was it would make sense to take that out and establishing what market value is it would be tricky as well. So that was our thinking on excluding number 5.
David.
Yeah, for the council's benefit, we should highlight that this is the definition, right? The alternative to this is no action. So this is it. There's no alternative 3. In addition, in order to, I think, understand what groups we're talking about with this definition, and I can be corrected by staff if I'm wrong, in the memo in our documents, document number 2, I guess it is, progress on Amendment 18, on page 6 of that document, there's a table that shows multi-species permits held by permit banks, and the private permit banks, the ones that would now be attached, so to speak, to this definition, would be the Boston Sustainable Fishing Community Preservation Fund, the Cape Cod Fisheries Trust, the Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund, the NEFS Number 11 Permit Bank, the Penobscot East Permit Bank, the South Shore Fishing Community Preservation Fund, and the Nature Conservancy Island Institute Community Permit Bank. So that's it's a useful table because it does provide the number of groundfish permits held by each of those so-called banks and the percent of the fishery it represents. So those are the entities with which we're dealing.
Tom.
I got a question for Rachel. Am I looking at the right definition, the one on page 12 in the Amendment 18 discussion draft? So if I'm reading this correctly, and this is a question for Rachel, it says on a motion that criteria 2 is excluded, and criteria 2 says this group is eligible to hold Northeast Multi-Species Permits, MRIs. So if we exclude that, how do we have a permit bank that doesn't hold permits?
Well, it was thought that any entity is really eligible to hold a permit, so that doesn't really have much strength as a criteria. But given that the prior motion just passed, that they need to be permit holders, that would need to be either entered as a criteria, maybe strike is eligible to, and just it holds permits. That suggestion was made to the committee. Or somewhere in one of the other conditions or in the rationale, it needs to be clear that these entities hold permits.
I guess I'm struggling here. I'm not sure how far to go with this, but, you know, there was a, I think Mike asked the question earlier, you know, why do we care if they're nonprofit? And apparently the committee does have a reason to want to have a nonprofit permit bank, but it's not clear to me what is a permit bank. You know, initially I thought it was something like, let's say, the Gloucester Community Preservation Fund, which actually owns permits, but then this says that you could have an entity that's not eligible to hold permits that's a permit bank, or an entity that doesn't hold permits that's a permit bank, which seems to conflict with a previous motion, right?
What? Given that the previous motion just passed, they now need to be permit holders. Right? That's been clarified by the previous motion. So I'm not sure whether that clarification is going to be added as another criteria in this list of five, or if it's going to be in one of the other conditions or in the rationale or somewhere it's going to be made clear that they're permit holders. Given that just passed, I just had a couple other comments. You may want to specify whether these entities can have one permit bank or more than one permit bank. It may be a way to get around an accumulation cap if they just have two or three or four or five permit banks. And also how much ACE they can, it's a criteria four, it must distribute ACE to at least three distinct entities. Does that mean it can hold on to 99% of its ACE and just lease out 1%? Or are you intending it to be, you know, all of it leased out to these entities and not held without being used? You might, and those are perhaps things that the committee can work on at your next meeting. Maybe not to work out today, but other thoughts about it.
Ellen?
I believe that when we took that out of the definition, it was because we thought it was superfluous, Tom, that we had already, it was in the definition of above, therefore we didn't need to have it in. If you think we need to have it in, maybe we need to change the wording.
Tom?
I don't know if you need to have it in or not. But we were having a conversation in the office, for example, and I guess this depends on why you want a nonprofit permit bank and what you think the purpose of a nonprofit permit bank is. But we were talking in the office, for example, and I think we might have mentioned it yesterday. If you have a bunch of permit owners, for-profit permit owners, and they put some kind of shell over them that's a nonprofit organization, for example, a sector, does that align with what the council wants for a nonprofit permit bank? And does that somehow give those for-profit permit owners an advantage in the treatment of ACE as they go forward because they're now organized over the shell that's a nonprofit permit bank?
David?
Yeah, in light of what's been said, I would move to amend the motion to strike out in the motion criteria two, and then after the number five, add the sentence, and that would be criteria two would read holds Northeast multi-species permits / MRIs. Yes, holds.
Is second to the motion to amend? Second by Ellen. Okay, comments on the motion to amend? Mary Beth.
So I think it's an interesting discussion in that we're talking about a definition for permit banks that already exist. So it's a little unclear to me what you do if you're a permit bank that already exists and you don't meet the definition that comes after the fact. But I also thought that Rachel brought up some interesting points that probably should be referred back to the committee, because we could really spend all day, you know, thinking about all these things. And one question that came to my mind that I think, again, will be on the list to go back to the committee was criteria number 3, maintain transparent qualification criteria. Well, I guess that's interesting, but I wonder, did anyone have a conversation about, you know, maintaining, you know, equal opportunity, you know, criteria? But again, I think these are all questions that you could spend a very long time on, and I think it would be good if we referred them back to the committee.
Okay, we're getting tangled. Mike?
Yeah, it's somewhat along the same lines as Mary Beth. I voted, or I abstained in the last vote related to this situation, and will continue to do so. And it's not because I have anything against what people are trying to achieve. But my observation is that, you know, as a council, we have, as individuals, or we have access to a lot of expertise in things like policy and the law and science. But we're now getting into talking about how we basically organize something that's essentially trying to engineer markets or influence how markets work and how private businesses work. And my observation is, unless it's clear to everybody involved, I just fear unintended consequences. And it's pretty clear to me from this discussion that there are lots of things that are still foggy. So I'm not against anything what people are trying to do. I just will abstain because I'm afraid that there are details that may turn out to be important and result in unintended consequences. Thank you.
Further comments on the motion to amend? Are there any comments from the audience? Back to the council. Okay. On the motion to amend, those who support the motion of the boards, please indicate. Raise your hand. Those abstaining. The motion carries 15-01. Back to the main motion. Tom.
Yeah, I think what we're talking about, we're going to spend some more time, and maybe to short-circuit that a little bit, we can just talk about the real issue at hand, make a decision about whether we have any interest in continuing at this or just treating all permit holders as they currently are exactly the same. So in the interest of having that discussion before we walk through a couple more sort of definitional issues or talk about the specifics of the Permit Bank Alternatives Amendment 18. I'd move to substitute. I just sent this to Karen with a motion that says we do not support developing alternatives in Amendment 18 that would treat groundfish permit holders operating as private permit banks. Sorry, did it come through? All right, I can send it again. Oh, well, I'll just read it so we know what we're talking about, and I'll get it up on the board. We do not support. Well, I'll send it again. All right. Where was I? We do not support developing alternatives in Amendment 18 that would treat groundfish permit holders operating as private permit banks any differently than any other groundfish permit holders. They should continue to be held to all rules applicable to permit holders. If I get a second, I'll provide some rationale for that.
Second, but Terry.
I think we've talked about the value. We've had a couple presentations about the value and good work of private permit banks. We've talked about utilizing them better to achieve some of the council's goals. But it comes at, you know, with some early questions about whether we even want to pursue that, you know, whether we want to basically carve out a designation within a permit holder, or whether we just want to say, you guys are doing great work. You're doing great work currently as private permit holders, sort of towards Mike Sissonwine's point. Keep doing what you're doing and leave it at that and not really grapple with a lot of these issues unnecessarily. So I just think it's a good time to probably have that conversation before we sort of continue to work on the details of a direction we may not want to pursue.
David.
Yeah, I understand where Tom is coming from, Chatham.
David?
defining nonprofit permit banks, why do that? On page 2 of the PDT memo to the Groundfish Committee, the appropriate question is asked, is the committee interested in designing the permit banks to be a tool to support fleet diversity, or is the committee concerned that permit banks may accumulate too much quota? And then they ask us to articulate the goal of having a definition. And frankly, I think permit banks are supposed to, and I believe they try to, promote fleet diversity. At least that's my understanding. Whether they're succeeding or not, I don't know. And that's part of the problem. I don't really know whether they're succeeding in doing that, but still, that's one of their stated objectives, and I praise them for that. But frankly, I still have the concern that these permit banks could accumulate, in quotes, too much quota. That is, it's possible for these permit banks to have an objective that's either stated up front and maybe not necessarily stated up front and maybe kind of private. They may have the goal of getting as many permits as they can possibly get in order to become the real wheelers and dealers in the groundfish fishery. Having a permit bank with many permits and a lot of PSC for all these different stocks. And frankly, I don't know the fate, the future of these permit banks in Table 1 that I referenced before. What's going to happen 10 years down the road or 5 years down the road? Is it possible that through some change in their rules, they'll sell all their permits to the highest bidder? The Penobscot East Permit Bank, South Shore Fishing Community Preservation Fund, Nature Conservancy Island Institute. You know, what are their specific objectives regarding the groundfish fishery? Those objectives may not necessarily be the same as the council's. They could be the same. The Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund, 49 permits in that fund. And I praise those who are involved in that fund because they're doing good work. But, frankly, I don't know if down the road those 49 permits or 60 permits, if more go into that bank, could that permit bank be purchased by some outside entity that wishes to obtain major investment in, maybe even control of the groundfish fishery here in New England? Would it be bought by some group in China? Who knows? We haven't got to the point where we have said what the limit should be, but still I think the discussions need to continue since there are potential, some significant implications of uncontrolled growth of a permit bank that is not in any way whatsoever influenced by the National Marine Fisheries Service, unlike the state permitted banks, where there were very specific conditions as to how we are to operate, how we are to help individual vessels by size or by community. So there's a lot of uncertainty regarding the future, so I don't want this to be adopted. I do believe there is a very distinct difference between private permit banks that could hold a very, very large number of permits in PSC versus individuals.
There are clearly some very strong feelings and divisions about what the purpose of Amendment 18 should be, and I'm teetering on the point of recommending that this motion be postponed until the Groundfish Committee has a chance to wrap their head around it. We've spent a significant amount of time yesterday talking about permit banks. We probably could spend the rest of the day talking about permit banks, and we've got a significant amount of other business to do today, so we'll take a few more hands, starting with Gene.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with your intent there, Mr. Chair, because this is really getting entangled procedurally as well as substantively. If I understand it, this is a substitute to a totally inapposite motion, right? I mean, the motion that's being substituted is how to define non-profit permit banks. And this isn't an opposite of that. I mean, does that mean this is the way you're going to defeat defining nonprofit permit banks? I don't think this is an appropriate amendment or substitute because it's not a way of you still would have the question of are you going ahead and defining nonprofit permit banks? This is just a statement of intent. So I think you should go and at least deal with the motion separately that's on the board. If this could be a separate motion that's not mutually exclusive to voting up what the definition is. So I think procedurally, this is not an appropriate amendment or substitute because it's sort of unrelated in substance to the motion on the table.
So just for my clarity, are you recommending that this motion to substitute be ruled out of order?
Well, yeah, I think it's not appropriate under Robert's rules. If it's substituting this definition of nonprofit permit banks, I mean, it's not related to that.
Frank, there's no motion on the board, so this technically shouldn't say move to substitute.
No, I thought there. No, we just had an amendment to the definition.
That
which
one passed.
Puts us,
it's not.
Right. The main motion is the definition of a nonprofit permit bank.
We amended the
motion. As amended by Dave. And so it just doesn't fit with that.
Okay. Seeing that, I'm gonna
it could be added to it, but to substitute it doesn't make sense.
Well, given your counsel, I'm going to rule the motion out of order. We're back to the main motion as amended. Mike.
I just comment. I think it was appropriate you rule it out of order, but I think the discussion that was intended is necessary, but I agree with your sense that maybe it belongs back in the Ground Fish Committee, and we're just going to spin wheels here. So thank you.
So what's the sense of counsel? You want to postpone action on this till it goes back to the committee, or do you want to vote it up or down? Terry?
Yeah, I think we should vote it, and then we'll send it back to the committee. You know, we'll have that discussion at the committee. So.
Okay, are there any comments from the audience on this tangled conversation? David.
David Gaethel, Fish and Vessel, Ellen Diane. I think you can see from the conversation you've just had why this is so important and so controversial. There is the possibility, with the state of the fishery at the moment, that if private foundation money should pour into one or more of these permit banks, that they could end up buying up and owning the vast majority of the fishery. So it is important to define these entities and then to decide how much you want to let them own, the law of unintended consequences here could be very, very bad. So, I'd be very careful here as you move along. These definitions are very, very important, and they need to be defined now, not after the fact. You know, you can't herd the horse back in the barn once he's out easily. So it's better off to define the horse and the barn right now, no matter how long it takes, and get it in Amendment 18, because that horse is going to escape the barn, I guarantee it, the way things are going. Thank you.
Jeff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Jeff Smith with the Nature Conservancy in Maine. I think most of you know that the Nature Conservancy is part of a permit bank in Maine, and I also served on an advisory committee for the Maine State Permit Bank, which is separate from the one that we are involved in. I have a question and then a comment on the motion, and the question has to do with when the council is considering a cap for permit banks. I was curious of whether that cap would include both the private nonprofit permit banks that have been discussed today, as well as the state permit banks that have already been approved through Amendment 17, I believe it was. And the reason I ask is just because I think Dr. Pierce referenced a table in the document that said the private permit banks now own about 8% of the permits, and if the cap is going to apply to both private permit banks and the state ones, I think it would be at least helpful for the council to understand what the state banks own. So would a cap apply to both the private banks as well as the state-run ones?
Rachel.
The alternatives in the document, yes, they would.
Okay.
It says at the beginning of the accumulations limits on holdings of individual permit banks, it says Here, quote, permit banks include the state-operated permit banks as defined in Amendment 17 and nonprofit permit banks as defined in the earlier section of this document. And the PDT also had a table of – that table also included the state-operated permit banks. They have a total of 15 permits currently, or 1%.
And has the analysis been done on I won't say ownership, control of ACE or PSC, as well as the number of permits, or just the number of permits?
The committee requested that information be brought to their next meeting.
Okay, great. So that's helpful. So on the motion, I appreciate the effort to have this discussion now. I think it is an important discussion for the council to have, but I think it's premature to have this motion now. I'm supportive of the idea of taking it back to the committee. I think that the permit banks that I'm aware of have been designed to try and advance the goals of Amendment 18 for fleet diversity and continued participation of as many people as we can have in the fishery. And I do believe that it's premature to sort of take that out of the document now. I think a better approach would be to analyze it in the document, look and see whether the cap that applies to individual permit owners should apply to permit banks as well, or look at whether a different cap should apply to them. I've said all along in this process that I do believe that there should be a cap on permit banks as well, and that the purpose of the amendment should be to evaluate whether it be the same as those for individual permit holders or whether it be different. And I guess just one final point, I would encourage members of the council to take a look at the reports that the permit banks submitted. The PDT asked us to give information on why we formed, what our goals are, what we're doing with our quota, and I think that that information would be helpful for the council to revisit and see what these permit banks are actually doing, because I do think that they are advancing the goals of Amendment 18 and that they should remain in the document at least until we have another pass at it at the committee level before taking it out. Thank you.
Vito.
Thank you. Vito Gigoloni, Gloucester Fishing Community Preservation Fund. We support the motion. I think it's important, especially here in the conversation yesterday. Seems like there's still confusion about what a permit bank is. And I don't know whether the distinction of nonprofit or not is important, but I think it's an important management tool, and you should have a definition for it. People are talking about it in the context of a cap that has nothing to do with the motion. But I think from a management perspective, that is a different class of the way people use permits. You use them to distribute them to multiple people as opposed to holding them for one company or one owner. So I think it's good to have the definition. We support that. And then once you know what one is, because clearly from the conversation yesterday, not everyone has a common understanding of it. So I think it would be a good idea to go through the exercise.
Any further comments from the audience? Back to the council on the motion as amended. Seeing no further comments, those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. And those opposed, and those abstaining. Motion carries 14-02. Frank and Rachel, would it be helpful or detrimental to the committee's work to go through the next two committee motions?
They're very similar. I mean, they're, from my point of view, it's all about permit banks and holdings of them. So if it's going to go back to the committee with the understanding of what we just did in the last one, I don't know if we have to go forward with them here or not. Rachel?
I'm fine either way. I think those conditions, there's more to talk about at the committee level with those conditions A through C. And then this idea of the collective cap, there seems to be more rethinking amongst committee members about their vote on that. So would seem more productive.
So without objection, we'll take the other two committee motions and remain in the back of the committee for further discussion.
That's all I have right now. I do think there's another motion
coming forward. Terry, maybe?
Terry, yep.
Before Terry brings that, I just want people to keep in mind where we are. I said it yesterday, and where we are in the fishery now. We have 4% of the boats landing 50% or better of the fish. That's where we are now. That's what was given to us yesterday, and that's where we stand. So when we're designing caps and where we want to go with this, keep in mind that 4% are landing 50% now. So we can put all kinds of caps on and do things, and we're going to have some questions on the report from yesterday, I know that, and, you know, the percentage of the breakdown. But what we think the fleet is and what we want it to look like is very different than I think what it actually stands now in the report that we were given yesterday. Thank you.
Terry.
I'm trying to send it to Karen right this second, and then I'll do it. Give me just a second, Terry.
Tom.
I guess in that window, are you saying that the fisheries – much more consolidated than you believe people perceive it to be, or much less? I'm not sure which direction you were surprised in.
I think it's already consolidated. I think we're at probably where we're going to get to. We can put some caps on and do something, but I don't think we're ever going to go back to what people are trying to achieve.
David.
I can't let that one go. I appreciate those concerns expressed by Frank and the performance report that we heard yesterday. It did create some confusion for me. I still have to delve into it, but I'm still influenced by the presentation given to us by Rachel at our committee meeting. I assume the council has the presentation where. She showed a review of the Northeast Fishery Science Center ownership data regarding permits, and specifically there's a figure here that shows individuals holding different percentage of the fishery-wide PSC shares, and that data indicate that, there's some consolidation, but not the type of consolidation that was just mentioned by Frank. So I guess I'm seeking greater understanding, and that will come about as we further discuss the data that Rachel has given us and what came out of that performance report.
You ready, Terry?
I am. Karen has it. For the purpose of evaluating and calculating a person's or entity's ownership as it relates to limits or caps that may be implemented in Amendment 18, include an umbrella provision that excludes, exempts any changes to PSC, days at sea, or other permit aspects that may result from a fishery buyback program.
Well, this is going to last a little discussion. Is there a second to the motion? Seconded by Mary Beth. Terry, can you provide some rationale?
Yeah, I mean, it's what we were trying to get at the other day. I think the industry's nervous working on this buyback program that what we end up with an end result of the PSC distribution won't be may put us over the limit if we decide to put a limit in. So this will. I think calm people down, let them work on it in the background, and hopefully we'll be able to come back with something that actually gives some people a humane way to get out of the business. So, and not worry about what happens to the fish when they're done.
John.
I'm supportive of this motion. Even though it's very premature, but I think it's the motion states an intention. It's premature because we're not close to passing Amendment 18. We're not close to a buyout or buyback. But I think it was Vito yesterday who made a point. So if we established caps, And I've spoken repeatedly about the need to do something around the issue of a vision for the fishery. I think Amendment 18 does that. I think the discussion today is interesting for me because when I did all the listening sessions, the fear I heard was consolidation. Somewhere down the road, we're going to have the groundfish fishery owned by three or four owners. That was the fear. The fear I hear today, expressed by Dave, was we're going to have the fishery owned by some nonprofits who are going to stop the fishing. You know, it's a different fear, but it's the tool to prevent that, either fear, might be the same, accumulation limits. So the discussion we're going down, Amendment 18, accumulation limits, addresses either one of those kind of fears. And the information we have is that we have time to work this out. It's not easy. The buyout is a tool that I think a year or two ago there was no support for such a thing. I think right now circumstances have changed. I think there may be industry support. If there is, I think, you know, NOAA Fisheries wants to work with the industry to see if we can do that for various reasons. And as Vito said, and as I think the gist of this motion, if we were to achieve something like that, you wouldn't want to have capacity reduction push someone over some limit. And so that's what I read the spirit of this motion. And so while it's incredibly premature because we don't have either the accumulation limits in place or a buyout in place, I think what if this motion were to pass, what it instructs is, hey, however you design both Amendment 18 and a buyout, don't do it in a way that when and if you have both these things in place, you don't push someone who doesn't do anything over a limit, if I'm reading the intention of the motion. So it gives instruction to designers of both those programs.
Tom.
I think we need to think about this one a little bit, and Gene may want to say something here. There can be a lot of reasons that caps might be adopted or accumulation limits might be adopted, and one of the reasons might be to comply with the Magnuson-Stevens Act requirement that there not be excessive shares in a fishery if those excessive shares are defined. So one way to read this motion, if it were to get passed and if there were caps that were adopted to prevent the accumulation of excessive shares, is that this is saying that you get a pass on the Magnuson-Stevens Act limit on excessive shares if it happens as a result of a buyback. And I suspect the council really can't do that. But I turn to Gene. Now, there's a whole lot of ifs in that chain of things I said. You know, the reason for the cap has got to be to prevent excessive shares. The buyback has to result in excessive shares. But I think it, as they are defined under the Act, but I think it has to be recognized by the council that, you know, whatever your intent on this motion, if a buyback leads to excessive shares that are contradict the point of the Magnuson Act, that you can't make this guarantee.
Okay, I think every hand on this side of the table went up. So I'll start with Frank.
Yeah, I'm going to support the motion. It's not the motion I thought Terry was bringing forward. Anyway, but I think the intent in the motion is that it has to comply with, well, of course it has to comply with Magnuson, but that would be, as long as it does, I'll support it.
Laura, do you want to comment? David?
Yeah, I understand why Terry brought it forward. We discussed the rationale for the sort of action, I think, yesterday and maybe at the Groundfish Committee meeting, but I can't support it because I believe it is very premature. If this was to pass, I'm left with great uncertainty as to what it means for the further development of Amendment 18. also the word ownership in the motion bothers me. I think it should be holdings as opposed to ownership because no one owns PSC. Yeah, they can own permits, but not PSC. So premature. I think it potentially restricts the options that we can consider in Amendment 18 and throws so much uncertainty into the debate about Amendment 18 that for all practical purposes it will bring it to a halt. At least that's my initial take on it.
PK.
I agree with the intent of the motion wholeheartedly. I was surprised at Frank's comment because my comment when Frank ruled a very similar motion out of order the other day, and I almost agree with Tom that this... I don't know how you can tie the hands of future councils or what Tom said, you know, go against something that Magnuson, you know, might preclude you from doing. I don't know how you can do this. I agree with it, but I don't know how you can do it in this motion.
Ellen.
I'm on the same page as PK. I believe that before Amendment 18 passes that we need to deal with the industry buyback. But it's completely premature to be putting the wording in because I think you may be tying your hands with some of these words as to how to deal with the buyback, and I would like to see this either tabled to a later date. I don't, and if we vote on it right now, I will vote against it.
Dave?
Yeah, I'm wrestling with the same thing. I think I agree with Ellen on this. I was going to say that... I can't vote against this, and it's too premature to vote for it, so I would abstain. But I think Ellen's got a better idea. I think perhaps we should table it for now. Otherwise, I guess what I'll do is just abstain. I agree with what he's trying to do. That's a problem I have.
Matt?
Everything I want to say has been said by everybody else on this side of the table. It's premature. It binds future councils. I think Frank was right to rule it out of order at the committee last week. So,
Doug.
Yeah, I think the wording in this, I think the concept that Terry's trying to get at is something that the Groundfish Committee should consider in the development of 18, but this gives very specific things. It exempts and excludes it, and that may not be the all the options that the council wants to consider. So I think the way this is worded right now, I can't support it.
Mary Beth.
Well, I do support the motion. I understand some of the concerns that people have, but just thinking about the report that we received yesterday, and one of the things that came out of that is there's not a lot of movement going on. I think John Bullitt spoke to that, and you know, you expect a lot of, you know, trading and a variety of different things that just are not happening. And part of the reason things aren't happening is because nobody knows what direction to go in. You know, are there going to be cap limits? Should you buy something? Should you not buy something? Is there going to be a buyout? There's just a tremendous amount of uncertainty, and I think that's what motivates Terry to make this motion. And you know, we need to get going. We need to provide some certainty about what the future looks like for this fishery and who can do what. And that's why I second the motion.
Terry.
Yeah. If everybody thinks this is premature, I mean, I'm certainly open to table it, and I am. The wording was wrong. It should be holding, so that got Dr. Pierce's vote on it, so we should be able to. That's all. That was the only thing holding him back.
You can withdraw.
So
you can withdraw. You could just withdraw it.
Just withdraw it and bring it up at the Groundfish Committee. Would that be? I don't know how you want to.
Is there an objection to Terry withdrawing the motion and bringing it back to the Groundfish Committee?
I mean, it's obviously going to fail because nobody can vote for it. So everybody likes the idea, but nobody can vote for it. So I think.
Okay, consider the motion withdrawn. Is there an objection? Seeing none, the motion is withdrawn. Thank you, Terry.
Me and John.
Jeez, a new alliance.
Terry.
Okay, then I'll go a Hail Mary. And Karen has that. I mean, we got to get one motion through this morning. Come on.
Are we past motions?
What a chance.
Have you got it, Karen?
Oh, okay.
Conditional upon maintaining the policy that PSC cannot be split, and for the purposes of simplifying consideration and analysis of excessive shares and ownership caps, limit the consideration of PSC ownership caps to Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank card stocks only. And if I can get a second.
Motion made by Terry and seconded by Mary Beth. Matt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I see where Terry's going with this, and I think, you know, with, you know, Jimmy suggesting that we might be able to find an easier way to move forward with Amendment 18 by looking at strategically located stocks is a good idea. We don't know if COD allocation is going to be the thing. So I see where you're going with this. I'd like to see the PDT look at distributions of share ownership across a variety of stocks and then pick the one that's most relevant. We're presupposing that suggestion is the correct one. We don't know, and that's why I'm not going to support this.
Terry.
You didn't listen to my rationale before you objected to it. My rationale for this motion is that everywhere you go, we catch cod. It's, you can't go anywhere on Georges Banks or in the Gulf of Maine without potential of catching cod. So everybody has a little cod. Some people don't have Cape Cod Yellowtail. Some people don't have Georges Bank Blackback. So this is one stock that I think that we can agree that everybody has a little piece of. So I think this is the smoking gun, and I think we should at least have it analyzed. Gives the staff something to do. They've been begging for stuff to do. And it gives them something to do, you know, between now and April. They got 2.5 months.
Rachel's smiling already. Frank.
Yeah, I think the problem with the motion here, I'll support it, but if you take out the word only, so it's an alternative, so this would be an option. Because right now it says the COD stocks only. So to develop, I think what you're looking for, Terry, is an alternative that would be for the codfish, and that wouldn't tie the hands of the PDT or anybody else with the other percentages. So
I don't think that's what he's looking for, but I think that's what he might be getting.
I'm always open to words. Huh? I'm always open to wordsmithing, so.
Laura.
I just wondered if it would be more acceptable if we had the word analysis in there, or perhaps limit the consideration of PSC ownership caps to the Gulf of Maine and Georges Bank COD stocks or other appropriate stocks as analyzed by the PDT. Would you accept that as a friendly?
It's always friendly from you, Laura.
Yeah. Okay. Mary Beth, you could, okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I think it's really it's more of a concept. I was very uncomfortable with the idea of individual stock PSC limits. I mean, to me, in a multi-species fishery, that's chaos. I think Jimmy spoke to it very well yesterday, and it just it made no sense. So this might be a way in which you could get there, and so conceptually, I strongly support this motion.
Okay, David.
Yeah, ownership caps, holding caps. They don't own the PSC. They have temporarily have, well, they don't own it. I can't vote for this. Yeah, there's some flexibility now because of the new words that have been added, but frankly, I can't vote for it because even though I'm sympathetic to the focus on COD, I'm always drawn back to the fact that without caps on shares of PSC as applied to Georges Bank Haddock, we continue to be comfortable with fishermen, groups of fishermen, having in their possession temporarily a tremendous amount of Georges Bank Haddock. an amount that's far in excess of the amount that they've ever harvested in previous years. But because the quota is so high, the PSC applied to that gives them a huge amount of haddock that they're free to do with as they please. Lease it away, catch it if they're lucky enough to catch it, if they can get access to closed areas, all of that. And we know that they're not taking their amount. But if they were able to take it, then, you know, they would be benefiting greatly from a PSC that is unrestrained by a cap. So, yeah, I don't mind the focus initially being on cod, but it's got to go beyond cod if we're going to talk about excessive shares and if we're going to talk about, you know, the national standard that deals with our need to focus on excessive shares. This is just for one stock. So I can't support the motion.
Okay, almost everybody wants to comment. Mike?
Yeah, I can't support it either. I guess I could sort of support it with this last clause that says other appropriate stocks, but then I'd be saying why are we voting on it at all, because it essentially says the PDT can do anything it wants, which is true right now. But my bigger concern is that while I appreciate the motivation behind this, I think that it requires some very careful thought about what the implications are in a mixed stock fishery of creating different cap criteria that, as stock relative stock sizes change, might make it impossible for fishing vessels to adjust their portfolio of quota to minimize discarding. If you look at the way various countries have handled things like discarding issues within ITQ fisheries, and this is an ITQ, but there's some related aspects. You know, one of the things that's advocated is the flexibility to adjust your portfolio such that you can minimize any discards. And in a sense, this would be creating a situation that inhibited that flexibility. So I think it really needs to be carefully thought through, although I understand the positive reasons people are proposing it.
Ellen.
I have been thinking about this all night, and I am leaning towards supporting the concept, and I probably will vote for this, but I have real reservations about cod. And I'm going to steal some of PK's thunder here. Scientists agree that there are differences in the cod stock boundaries than how we are managing them now. My other concern is the temperature change and the stock changes in our waters. Because Laura added the last sentence, I'm leaning towards voting for this. If it had just been the cod stocks, I'm afraid I would have had to vote against it. I'm still on the fence, and I would like to see several options and alternatives stated clearly to be sent for review, and I think that probably means it needs to go back to the Groundfish Committee. Thank you.
Doug.
I like the concept of having some kind of this kind of an option developed and analyzed. The way the motion is worded, I'm concerned it's not there. It doesn't say develop an option for an analysis that would have a consideration of PSE ownership caps to Gulf of Maine, Georges Bank cod stocks, or other appropriate stocks as analyzed by the PDT. And I think that concept was brought up by the chairman in our discussion. And if the chair and others are okay with that concept, that we're developing an option for analysis in Amendment 18, then I won't go through the torturous bit of amending and to try and get the wording exactly right. How do you feel about that, Mr. Chairman? Should I try and amend the wording to something that I feel is, or do we are we all talking about the same concept?
Let's go back to the maker of the motion.
Well, how about this, Terry? How about if I withdraw this and we do this at the Groundworks Committee level and task, in the meantime, task the staff to do the analysis needed?
I think it will pass, personally.
But, I mean, is that a better option?
No.
Would everybody?
No. Rachel?
If you want the staff to do this type of analysis, I think you'd better to pass this type of motion, because without this, we don't have any mandate to look at caps that would be just on a particular stock. So we would be better prepared at your next meeting if we had this type of motion. You also should put in holdings rather than ownership. And just a reminder, the Gulf of Maine Cod is the least concentrated stock in terms of holdings from yesterday's
session. So, Terry, what I'm hearing is that you're looking for some analysis, correct?
That's right. And I think Tom Dempsey may have the language that would make everybody around the table happy.
So, well, then we're going to go right to Tom.
I sent this to Karen. I'd move to amend. I only now got Karen's email that I'm supposed to send these to everyone, but no, the other one, the email just before. All right. Well, I'll read it in slow. Amend to task the staff to develop alternatives for consideration in Amendment 18 that would apply a PSC cap to only a subset of stocks like GOM COD and GB COD as a simpler way of achieving the goals of this amendment.
Is there a second on the motion to amend? Second by Vincent. Mary Beth.
So, I mean, if this is what makes people more comfortable, I certainly would support the motion, but I would hope that it doesn't create some really complicated analysis. The idea is that, you know, with Gulf of Maine Cod and Georgia's Bank Cod, that it would be a simple process and not get into, you know, multiple stocks. And to David's concern regarding, you know, haddock, I mean, that's really the whole point, David, is you can't go haddock fishing unless you have some allocation of cod, you know. And I think that's exactly why that stock is a focus, is to go fishing for just about anything, you need to have some allocation of cod. And that's why it seems to be the perfect choice to kind of get you there where you want to go. I don't think that this gets you to a place where you don't, where, you know, I actually think it would work for you, David, if you thought about it a little bit longer. So, anyway, I'll support the motion.
Mike?
Well, this discussion about the implications to fishing for haddock is exactly my concern, because if you don't have a cap on haddock and you're very limited in how much cod you can have in order to prosecute your haddock, unless we've got observers on every boat or some other way of enforcing, you're likely to have discards. So again, I'm not fundamentally against it, but I think there has to be careful consideration of the mixed stocks implications. The other problem is that these mixed stock implications change as the relative abundance of a mixture of stocks changes. So putting a cap on one species without allowing the adjustments that are necessary as the relative abundance in the fishery changes could potentially result in a forcing function for discarding.
What I'm hearing Terry say is that the Groundfish Committee has struggled for well over a year to come to grips with accumulation limits, and by tasking the staff to start focusing the analysis, it might make the next steps more palatable. Ellen.
Does this motion preclude like subsets, say, as the putting more than two stocks, maybe Gulf of Maine cod and haddock? Or are we just looking at one particular stock in each area?
Tom?
I think the wording in terms of including a subset allows flexibility. I put stocks like GOMCOD and GBCOD as examples because, you know, they were used in, they've been discussed as possible candidates for this kind of approach. But I think the wording and my intent with the motion is to allow for a degree of flexibility.
Oh, Ellen?
So I'll support this as long as we can keep an open mind, and we may need more than one stock cap. We may not, but I just want to keep an open mind and see if we can get something that everybody can agree on. Thank you.
David.
Yeah, I guess I could support this if for no other reason than in our draft Amendment 18, we have some alternatives being worked on by staff that relate to limiting the use of fishing access privileges for stock-specific PSC. So obviously COD, yeah, so this would be a nice first step, COD and whatever else. I would only suggest that there's a simpler way of achieving the goals of this amendment. I don't like the latter part of the motion. So I would suggest that we just strike as a simpler way of achieving the goals of this amendment. That would be my motion to amend. Maybe it could be a friendly amendment. We would be tasking the staff to take these steps, these analytical steps that are actually consistent with some of the draft alternatives that are in the amendment right now. So that's my suggestion. I'll support this motion if the latter language is struck out.
That's a double motion to amend.
It is?
Yeah.
A friendly request of my colleague from Chatham.
You're not feeling friendly.
Sorry, I was just saying, fine. I mean, all the alternatives are ultimately trying to achieve the goals of this amendment. I guess I can just move that to the intent of the motion, right? So we'll take that out. I'll accept that as a friendly, that last clause. And just clarify with the intent of this is that it's a concept worth developing as perhaps a simpler way to get where, you know, people are talking about going with this action.
Okay, I'm going to try to move this along. Does anyone want to speak against the motion? Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A question to the maker of the motion. This doesn't preclude the PDT from looking at stocks that are fished in southern New England, does it? This is not limited to just Gulf of Maine, correct? I can support this.
This was, I think, following up from Jim Odlin's comments yesterday. Dave Preble.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not specifically against the motion, but I just find this all very odd. And somebody yesterday, I think it might have been you, Terry, said that that this all resembles a solution in search of a problem. And I don't understand why we're getting wrapped up on this when the Compass Lexicon report hasn't even had a peer review yet, and there isn't one bit of empirical evidence that we have a problem. And in fact, the report says we do not find any evidence that an excessive share cap is an effective means to achieve progress promoting diversity, enhancing sector management, or encouraging diversification. And it goes on and expands upon that. And at the very least, I should think that we'd be waiting for the peer review before we start getting into the weeds like this. I won't oppose the motion, but it just seems like a very odd way to do things, and it seems very, very inefficient.
Mike, are you opposed?
Well, yes, to some degree, but I could be made very comfortable if, as a friendly amendment, we would add the bycatch and discard implication should be considered. Just that sentence to the end of it would make me comfortable with it. As I've said several times, I am concerned about the bycatch and discard implications, and I would want to make sure that they're considered.
Okay, everyone wants to speak against it now. I mean, it's 10:20, almost 10:30. Anybody in the audience want to speak against it? David.
Morning, everybody. David Gaethel. Now you're about to see the first time where a husband and wife disagree on an amendment. I oppose this. I think it's like the siren song. You all remember the sirens. You know, they sat on the rocks and Lord Fisherman to their death. There's a reason people don't want you to examine the entire suite of stocks. And that, you know, and that's why they're promoting anything to get you from off of examining the entire suite of stocks. The fact is that if anybody controls any one stock, they essentially control them all. Because as Mike Sissonwine rightfully said, it's a mixed stock fishery. You can't fish for one without fishing for all of them to some degree. And, you know, if you control, in the Gulf of Maine as an example, Haddock, Yellowtail, Place, and Dabs, you know, doesn't matter how much the cod is distributed around. You're going to have to all lease your cod to the guy who has everything else because you can't just catch cod. And just like you can't just catch any one thing anywhere in the Gulf of Maine or Georgia's Bank. So I oppose this concept. You know, it's not going to solve the problem. You have to examine the entire suite of species, decide what the maximum amount anybody can have, and deal with it. The problem is people don't want to deal with the issue. They have consistently not wanted to deal with the issue since the invention of Amendment 18. So, you know, you can put this forward as an option, but it's not going to solve your problem. It's actually going to make it worse, in my opinion. Thank you.
Anyone else in the audience want to speak against it? Back to the council. Is there further discussion? Seeing none on the perfected motion to amend, those who support the perfected motion to amend, please indicate so. And those abstaining and those opposed. Motion carries 16-1-0. We're back to the main motion as perfected and amended. Same sign. Those support the motion on the board, please indicate so. Those opposed? And those the motion carries 15-2-0. Okay. Is there any further business, groundfish business?
Jamie.
I did. Jamie?
I thought.
So Frank brought up a point yesterday about timing. You all have in your correspondence a letter from GARFO stating that there have been some recreational catch estimates for Gulf of Maine cod and haddock that are in excess of the sub-ACL. Typically, the REC would have reviewed the information and sat down with analysts, but our REC meeting was canceled due to weather. And because of that, there was some discussion at the committee level as to whether maybe the full council should weigh in on the REC recommendations for fishing year 2014 Gulf of Maine cod and haddock AMs. So the request is that we add an agenda item to the February council meeting, and I know that my boss has asked that we don't add anything to the February council meeting, so I thought it might be good to check in and see if that was possible. I'm not sure if it requires a motion but or not to do so.
Tom?
Yeah, we can add it if we need to, but that's it.
So we'll have a wrap meeting before the next council meeting, and we'll be able to provide the recommendations that the wrap has for the full council to review it in the February meeting. Yep.
Will those recommendations go through the committee first?
No. We won't have a chance to.
Sounds like it's going to hit the committee as a whole. Tom, you had your hand up for a
just
point.
Prepared to bring the motion if we required it. If we don't,
okay. Let's take a 10-minute break, and we'll whatever our next agenda item is. It's the industry funding omnibus.